I am so excited that for 2024, Your Brand Amplified is proudly sponsored by one of my favorite platforms, Simplified. This AI-driven platform is a game changer for design and video content. With Simplified, I can effortlessly transform lengthy videos, such as my podcast, into engaging, shareable clips and streamline workflows with an intuitive subtitle generator. For designers out there, you can explore the AI-powered image generator, create compelling presentations, and design eye-catching YouTube thumbnails with ease. Revolutionize your creative process at simplify.com with a free trial. Now let's dive into today's guest.
Welcome to Your Brand Amplified, the podcast where we interview marketers, publicists, and brands to learn their stories, what makes them tick, and tips and tricks that make a difference.
I am so thrilled to have a top AI voice with us today. We all talk about AI. There's a lot of mystery, but AI has, in actual fact, been around a very long time. And this is a person who has been in the business, who knows the ins and outs of AI, and really has the voice for the differences in like AI and what that means for the future of humanity. So yeah. Manoj Agarwal, thank you for being here. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited about this conversation. Thank you.
Yes, I am so excited. And you have such an interesting story. I don't want to tease it out for you. I really want you to tell in your words how you got your start, because this is the ultimate success story, I think. This is the inspiration that we all, you know, can live by.
Yeah. So I'll tell you my story and then I can go dive deeper into like, you know, how I got my inspiration. Basically, my story starts in India. I grew up in a very small town in India. And this is, we are talking 30 years ago when India was still a developing country. It was not on the world map as it is today. And back then, there were not a lot of opportunities, especially in smaller towns in India. So my journey started at 15, starting to work in a factory and trying to get some basic education while working and trying to figure out, you know, what is the meaning of life? Why am I here? What is the purpose? As pretty much every, you know, teenager sort of goes through. And so for me, my inspiration came from one day I was flipping through some business magazines at lunch hour, and I read some stories of these business tycoons, entrepreneurs who made it big. And when I saw their story, you know, one thought struck me that they look just like me as a human being, you know, same one nose, two ears and two eyes. And I was like, okay, you know, what is so different about these people where, you know, they are at the height of their success and here I am stuck, you know, in this factory. Now, don't get me wrong, after a lot of 3 decades, I realized what I got out of that factory as well. But at that point, it was like, okay, you know, I need to build something, you know, more out of me. And I didn't know what it was. So that inspiration sort of struck and then kept percolating in my mind for a while. And then one day, you know, I realized, okay, computers were just coming up and internet was very new in India. And one computer institute opened up in my small town. And I was like, you know, this sounds interesting. Like I should learn a little bit about computers. And when I inquired, the fee for that course was more than my yearly salary. So I was like, okay, you know, this is not affordable right now. So, but by hook or by crook, the next year I had enough money to enroll. And then I got really, really, really interested in computers. Like I didn't realize how much interest I had and how much fun it was to just work with computers. One of the things is I'm an introvert, and back then I was an extreme introvert. So talking to other people was a big sort of scary thing. But with machines, you know, they don't talk back, you know, they just follow what you say. So it was a very good fit for me. And in fact, like when the final exam results came in, I was ranked 7th overall in India. So, you know, that was like a real surprise to me. So I knew that, okay, this is my lane that I need to pick and I need to build a career in software and technology. And then I came over to North America. This was dot-com boom time. So when I came, like it was pretty easy to get a job. And it was also easy to lose that job because it was a very tumultuous time. Dot-com bust happened and then Gulf War started September 11th. A lot of chaos and confusion in the world. So that led me to like lose 2 or 3 I think, 4 jobs within 2 years. So then I said, okay, you know, this job security thing doesn't apply anywhere. So that forced me into entrepreneurship. So I started my consulting company, started working with a lot of startups. Then I got an opportunity to work with the Fortune 500 companies, Microsoft, Pearson Education. And I saw, you know, from like the whole spectrum of business, like, you know, how small companies grow and how these large giants, they grow, and, you know, what are the dynamics in business and in leadership and people. And I was getting into like other cutting edge technologies, artificial intelligence. I started my first project in 2006.
Wow.
And, you know, that was a patented technology to teach students in a personalized manner. So that every student gets a personalized curriculum rather than the same curriculum that every student gets. So that really opened up my eyes to these technologies, what they can do, like how they can really transform lives. And since then, I've been, you know, focused on really finding projects which are fun to work on, but like they have tremendous impact on humans. So, you know, we have done a lot of work in healthcare. We've done a lot of work in education, as I said. We are doing now a lot of work in a legal space, telecom. So these are the things that, you know, everyday people need. And when we build technologies that impact their lives, that just multiplies the satisfaction that I get. So now, you know, I have 4 patents so far in AI. I help universities build their curriculum teaching AI. And just the idea is to really harness the force of this technology to do good in the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and I love that you said to harness the technology to do good in the world, because there are a lot of people who think AI is going to take our jobs. Mm-hmm. I teach university at USC, and one of the things we talk about is algorithmic bias and who's programming AI and do they look like us and what are they putting into AI? So would you please demystify it a little bit for us?
Sure.
People who know a little bit, but not nearly as much as you, haven't been in the game. What are the best functions? Yeah.
See, the thing is that every technology is neutral, first of all. It doesn't have any ill intentions, right? So, and also human nature is always to be very wary and very cautious about any kind of change, anything particularly that they don't understand. So starting from the printing press and even like going back, like any new technology which was radically different had the same reaction from people. You know, when printing press came, you know, people were really afraid, like, oh, what is going to happen when somebody, you know, everybody starts getting the information that is not supposed to be shared. Right. You know, when the automobile came on the street, like everybody said, oh, this is the devil's vehicle because it spewed out smoke. You know, when the internet came along, some of the people in the audience may remember there was a huge Y2K scare that, yep. You know, when the Y2K strikes, you know, all the whole world is going to shut down. And, you know, people started buying up all the toilet paper, just like, you know, in recent times. So the reaction is nothing new to these kind of technologies. But the fact is AI has been around, as you said, for ages. And our world is already controlled by AI. You know, this is nothing new. Like since the year 2000, it has been sort of impacting our lives, daily lives everywhere. So when I tell people, you know, when you go buy anything on Amazon, it shows up on your doorstep within, you know, one day. It's not because Amazon has a whole bunch of people running around and, you know, just waiting for your order to come in. It's because everything has been optimized by AI.
Yeah.
You know, even when an order comes, they have huge warehouses. The path that the picker takes, you know, to pick the item from the bin is optimized by AI so that they can, you know, deliver as many orders as possible in the shortest amount of time. You know, this video recording that we are doing, it is possible because AI is optimizing the video and the audio in real time so that we can communicate in this manner. You know, you take out your mobile device out of your pocket, everything on that device is controlled by AI. So, you know, all these things, when people realize, then they know that they're already using AI. It's not about losing jobs, but it is about creating new types of jobs. Because again, every new invention creates disruption in the short term, yes. But if people embrace it, it leads to more, much better jobs, much higher paying jobs, more fun. Ooh. So, you know, yesterday I was actually talking to one of the pioneers in AI who coined the term artificial general intelligence. And I really want to borrow his take as well, because it's very interesting. When we ask people, you know, will you like to win a lottery? You know, nobody actually says, I don't want to win. But everybody says, oh, you know, it'll be fantastic if I can win a lottery and I can just like sort of lay on the beach and sip a drink, you know. And AI is like that. You know, AI is like winning the lottery, because as AI becomes more prevalent and sort of starts to optimize our businesses, our manufacturing, the cost of living is going to go drastically down.
Wow.
And everybody will be able to afford pretty much everything that they want. And they will be able to work, you know, on the things that they really like. So in my opinion, we are entering an era where there's going to be a new renaissance of, you know, art, music and those type of things. Because at the end of the day, human nature is not to work in a cubicle for 40 hours a week. It's about observing the world, creating, you know, expressing our emotions, all of these things. So that's the future that I see because of AI.
Yeah. I am so excited to hear that. I was already excited to have this conversation and to finally meet you. But that is, I think, something that needs to be messaged so much more widely, because people don't realize that AI really is integrated. Or I know a lot of times we talk about what's the difference between machine learning and AI and like which part is each one. Right. But really, AI is, you're saying, a through line that's been helping us do everything we do. And that's the big thing, right? If you're saying that this can help people have more time for creativity, have time to do other types of jobs, and the cost of living will go down, those three things right there, I think everybody would say, okay, I like AI.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And not just AI, every technology. So if you take a long term, you know, graph of human evolution, starting from the caveman, resources were very, very limited. You know, life expectancy was very short. And over time, like even if we go 100 years back, 99.9% of the human population used to spend their entire waking hours working in the field just to earn basic, you know, food and basic living, right? And look at our lifestyle now, right? Just in 100 years. And that has transformed because of technology, and not just AI, but every technology. But now AI is going to create an exponential hockey stick growth in that living standard.
Wow. And speaking of living standards, I want to go back a moment to your childhood. I think about, I have a 16-year-old, or actually, she is 15. She's not quite 16, not quite driving yet. Daughter, she already knows she wants to get her PhD in neuroscience. And I know that's part of, you know, your work is AI and human psychology and neuroscience and how that weaves together. Like you, she's an introvert. But I don't know that, like you at 15, she could be working in a factory for $2 a day and have these dreams. And so I'm very fortunate in that way. But I know that when you come from a humbler background, there are so many lessons you have to learn that you take with you that help you with your success. I'd love to hear, because you did do a little nod to, you did learn a lot of lessons when you were in the factory floor for those 3 years. Would you please share some of those with us?
Yeah, I mean, the very first thing is, like, you know, I learned about nothing is actually possible without collaboration, especially now in modern society, you know, especially in the West, I find, you know, there's a lot of emphasis on individualism. But when you work in a factory where everything is coordinated one step after the other, like, it's a choreograph of steps. Well, you put in raw material on this end and a furnished product comes out at this end. And it's not just one piece of the product that is needed. You know, the factory manufactures tens of thousands of these every day, like, you know, like clockwork, right? And in that choreography, if one step fails, if one person is sick, if one machine is not working, if, you know, some material is not available that is supposed to feed that step, everything just stops, right? So that aspect of teamwork and collaboration is very, very important, irrespective of what kind of technology is available, what kind of automation is available. So that's number one. Secondly, it's also about, you know, valuing our time. So again, you know, in the factory started 8 a.m. sharp. Like, there is no excuse, you know, come hell or high water. You know, there have been times where, you know, I lived through some, like, times where there were, you know, terrorist attacks in that part of the world. You know, there was, you were not allowed to go out of your, you know, like, even through those times, you know, you have to make sure it starts at 8 a.m. and that. So, you know, if you value time, then time values you. But if you don't value time, then time is not going to value you. No matter how smart you are, no matter how much resources you have available, time is very, very valuable, right? And then the last thing was quality. It's like, you know, taking pride in what you do, because the factory I worked in, it manufactures nuts and bolts, like really big, you know, nuts and bolts that support bridges and heavy machinery and those type of things. So you have to comply with very stringent specifications, like within 0.5 millimeters of accuracy and things of that nature. Otherwise, you know, otherwise it's just not going to work. It'll be a throwaway, a huge loss. So that taught me that, you know, whatever you do, you really need to take pride in it. You really need to have very high expectations of yourself, of others, and shoot for high precision, not perfection, but high precision, because there's always a little bit of wiggle room in everything. Mm-hmm. But so perfection is a futile effort, but making sure that you really shoot for something that you can be so proud that my name is associated with that. And that has served me really, really well.
Those are some great life lessons and things that not a lot of people of that age would realize, right? Are prescient things that you should can take, that emotional intelligence that you realized from that age.
This is interesting as well. So for young people, your daughter, these lessons, they are, our mind is such a pattern recognition machine. It is just consuming, and subconsciously it is happening. In that age, I didn't realize any of this, right? But once you get into real world, you know, you start doing things on your own, then those instincts that have been fed into our mind, they kick in automatically. And only years later, you realize, oh, you know, I learned this during that time and it was a hell to go through at that time. But now I know the importance of all that, you know. So whatever comes your way, I feel like life gives you what you need, not what you want at any given point.
Yes. I co-sign. I plus one on that.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear a little bit about your patents and your books on technology as well, because you talked about how you really do see this as a tool for good. And you've worked in healthcare, you've worked in legal, you've worked in education, you've worked in music. And I think right before we jumped on, you said you were even helping students learn music through AI programs.
Yeah. So I'll talk about the patents. The very first one, so it is related to education, where in every classroom today, if there are like 50 students in the classroom, every student gets the same curriculum. Ooh. And the teacher, no matter how diligent they are not able to pay a personalized attention to every student. And we know that some students are more advanced than others. So with AI, what we can do is, even in the same classroom, we can assess, okay, you know, this student already knows this subject, so he or she can skip ahead. And or this student needs a little bit more help, so they get additional material. So this way, you know, even in the same classroom, every student gets the same personalized curriculum, and the teacher can sort of really accelerate their learning growth. That was one pattern. The second one is where a lot of people experience joint pains because of the way their feet are constructed, and they have to stand on their feet all day because of their jobs. And so since it is basically based on their anatomy, especially on the underside of their feet, like, you know, some people have flat feet, some people have high arches, and those type of things, surgery or medication doesn't help. So what we did was we created AI algorithms that can take some photos of your feet and convert those photos into 3D models. And those 3D models get fed into 3D printers. And the 3D printer then prints out a custom orthotic device that fits into your shoe perfectly, because it is, you know, custom made for you. And it provides the support at the right pressure points. And, you know, it helps with joint pains. Not only helps with joint pains, but it was scientifically proven. It also enhances athletic performance, all that. So that technology actually was, again, so I have two patents on that one. And it was sold to a $43 billion German company called Bayer. And they sold this technology under their brand name, Dr. Scholl's. So that was another one. And then I worked on another technology where this was again in education, where in higher education institutions, universities and colleges, a lot of students, they drop out of their university programs in the first 2 years So as much as 30% students drop out. And the reason is because they find out that, you know, the courses they enrolled in are of no interest to them, or they are too difficult. And we know that, you know, especially in North America, student debt is a huge, you know, burden. So rather than sort of, you know, go through a degree program that they don't like, they just drop out. And this causes a loss of a graduate for society. You know, they are demoralized. The institution loses out on an opportunity for a, you know, a student. So with AI, we can actually like recommend the right courses. We can just profile the student and say, okay, you know, based on your past record, your SAT scores, your interests, you know, you should be taking these courses, not only because they are of interest to you, but also you'll find them, you know, relatively easy to finish. And the result was, using this technology, most of the dropouts got eliminated, meaning, you know, people were able to finish their degree programs. And this technology actually got attention from Obama and Bill Gates. So Bill Gates Foundation actually invested in that technology as well.
And I love that, particularly because I work with a lot of workforce development and adult education. So people who are going back to get, figure out what certifications can they get to get a highly skilled job in their area. Or exactly to your point, a lot of students who dropped out during the pandemic specifically, and now we need to figure out how do we get them back in school, but how do we get them into the right program that will really make a difference for them?
Exactly.
So I'm like, okay, we're going to have to talk about this afterwards, because that is all of the clients for the agency that I work with are in that and trying to solve this every day and trying to figure out how do we reach the right students. And so I love the fact that it's not just what they're interested in, but you're really mapping to what they'll be best at and what they're interested in.
Exactly. Yeah.
Fascinating. And what does that look like for you now? You're keynote speaking, you're still developing a lot of programs, but I'm sure you've seen the landscape of, if not, I mean, I'm sure what AI has changed, right? But also just the awareness of AI has changed and the way people are looking at it and thinking about it and wanting to use it.
Yeah, that has been a biggest change, because just 2 years ago, nobody knew what AI was. And now everybody knows what it is. So, you know, 50% of the people I talk to, they are running away from it because they are scared of it. And 50% are running towards it, but they don't know what to do with it. So it's been an interesting sort of couple of years to see this awareness rise. But now the exciting part is, okay, people who want to take advantage of it, how can we really make it work for them? Because just like the example I gave you about the students getting into the wrong courses, a lot of people are, you know, not really realizing what is actually the power of this technology. And they are just trying to, you know, use it for superficial purposes. Not that that's wrong. Like, you know, they are trying to write their emails using AI. They're trying to write their social posts using AI, which is all great. But the power of this technology is much deeper. It's about, you know, really taking the mundane drudgery of the work out of the work and really surface the things that we really truly are passionate about. You know, every human being is in a profession because they were attracted to it for some reason. But we know that along with any profession, let's say, you know, you are working in education, there's a lot of paperwork, administrative things, you know, all of these things that you have to like really do in order to do the core part of the job that we are passionate about. So the idea about AI is to remove that drudgery and just like really make your job so much fun that you cannot just contain yourself waking up and just getting into it. So that is the kind of work that we do with organizations, small and big, like, you know, really understanding their business and saying, okay, these are the real aspects of your business that AI can really, really make a huge difference. Explode your productivity, you know, multiple times, or remove errors and create a much better customer experience for your customers and those type of things. And that this is what drives us. And also inventing new things, new ways of doing things, because things which were not possible just a few years ago, now they are possible. So bringing all this together and then just sort of always adding a layer of humanity, because I find, you know, I'm an engineer and I know how engineers have been trained to think. And now, you know, after decades of meditation and, you know, learning about human psychology, neuroscience, our differentiation is that we really start every conversation with, okay, who are the humans using it? What is their life like? And what are their hopes and dreams? Then comes, okay, how can we accomplish these goals for these humans using technology and AI, not the other way around?
Yeah, I think that's a very important construct to note, because particularly, you know, I'm on the marketing communication side and thinking about the brand strategy, and we always want to start with the user in mind. But yeah, I think a lot of companies skip those steps. And a lot of consumers don't see themselves represented, or see, they might just hear, oh, this is going to be a product that's great for you, but it's not personalized to who they are. So that is huge.
Yeah.
I want to touch on something else in your background, because I know when you went to your school, you saved up the money that was over a year's salary, and that's where you met your wife.
Okay.
And she was in the program, and your family didn't approve, and you had to run, like, that's when you ran away traveled?
Yeah. Well, you know, India is a very, how can I say it, like a structured society, and there are a lot of unwritten rules. So in India, typically when you get married, it's not like in North America, you know, you go on several dates and then you find the right person and then you propose and then, you know, you get married. In India, generally, it is like, you know, your family is going to go and talk to somebody else's, you know, your partner's family, find the right prospect, and then they decide, okay, you know, this is a good fit. And they just generally say, okay, you know, this is the person you're going to marry. So it's an arranged marriage, right? And when I told my family that I like this girl who was from a different religion, and that's a, you know, big barrier where you cannot sort of marry between multiple religions. So that was a big problem. And there was just no way to get around it. And they really opposed it. And so one day I just said, okay, you know, I've had enough. So, and I just sort of left. And that was kind of a stupid move, you know, a teenage move. But my life has taught me, like, you know, if you feel strongly about something, if you follow your heart, everything works out in the end. So it did work out, and you know, it was a great experience for me, and it has taught me a lot in my life as well. So,
did you, and you don't have to answer these, but I'd like to get personal as well. Did you reconcile with your family eventually? Does she work in the field as well still? Or
what ended up happening was, you know, the family dynamics changed rapidly. So I, after 25 years of marriage, I got divorced recently. My family, we have reconciled for sure over the years, but still there's a little bit of a, how can I say it, like a gap that was created, you know, that takes a lot of effort to fill, but slowly it is filling up now.
Yeah. Well, and one thing we talk about is, because I'm half Asian, I'm part Thai and Lao and part Caucasian. And, you know, we hear a lot about, like, eventually the world will be very mixed together, and we'll be able to really celebrate. And we see with globalization and the fact that you're in Vancouver and I am in California, and we can still, have conversation. Do you think that AI will help democratize society a little bit more and help break down those barriers? Because I know there was the caste system, which was outlawed, but still, you know, and there are many cultures that have different systems of, oh, you don't marry this person, you don't marry that person. And so do you think that this is going to help solve for some of that?
I think absolutely it will. I mean, if you look at it again, you know, what has already transpired is because of technology, right? Like you said, globalization, like it just maybe what, 50 years ago, if I had to go to Asia, maybe I'll have to take a ship across the seas and it'll take 2 months. You know, what is the likelihood of that happening for people? But now, you know, you can take a 12-hour flight and you are there. So that has enabled people to sort of cross borders and mingle and all of that. With AI, the idea is to also go deeper into our psyche and understand each other at the psychological level. You know, how do they think? How do I think? What is the similarity? There is now, human genome has been decoded, which brings us all together as one species. And we realize, oh, there is absolutely no difference in our DNA. You know, it's just that some genes are different than for some people and so on and so forth. Not only that, but our DNA versus our ancestors, like chimpanzees and whatnot, there's like hardly any difference between those species as well. So it's not only bringing humans together, it's like bringing the entire natural world together. And I think it will continue as we develop this deep understanding that we are actually just one species, and we just come from different viewpoints, different backgrounds, different life experiences. And also the realization that when these different experiences mix together, they create even more, you know, like magic, like, you know, ideas. When you have similar ideas, they don't really create something new. But when you mix multiple opposing ideas, they create new ideas, right? And so that's the idea behind human language, human interaction. And I think that's what's going to continue to flourish, especially with AI now.
Yeah. Wow. Well, thank you for sharing all of that, because I think that's a really important thing that we have to think about too. As the world changes, and we know, we also see AI, of course, being used for disinformation and, you know, different kinds of images that we don't need to talk about here that are illegal. And so we see people using it nefariously. So I appreciate the fact you've been in this. You are the expert. You have this optimism still, because you see that, have a feeling from you that good will prevail.
Yeah, yeah.
In the use of AI.
Yeah. It's absolutely, you know, these things are not new. You know, everything that we read, news cycles have a way to blow up, you know, the proportion of bad that is happening in the world, which is just always the case. And going back to ancient times, only, you know, there's, in this world, I will say maybe 5% of the time or 5% of the people are doing malicious things, but 95% are, you know, are doing the good. But the thing is, in news sells on sensationalism, they're not going to report the 95% of the good. They're always going to report the 5% of the bad. So definitely there are some harmful things that can be done with AI, but, you know, overall it has really transformed the world and it'll continue to do so.
Thank you. And can you tell us a little bit about your books? And are they for the common reader? Are they practical?
Yeah, they are hardcore engineering books. So, you know, they're meant for just, you know, people who understand specific areas of technology. But if you're really suffering from insomnia, you want to go to sleep, you know, by all means. But yeah, they are very hardcore technical books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you keynote speak, what are some of the things that you love to share, if there's anything that we haven't discussed yet?
I paint a picture of, you know, just like what I said, I paint a picture of what AI is bringing to the world. I try to discuss the fears and misinformation around AI. I'll give you quick things where, you know, these statistics that I share, AI, so this is a statistic shared by the CEO of IBM, that AI is going to add about $10 trillion, which is $10,000 billion to the world economy in the next 7 years.
Wow.
So next 7 years, more billionaires are going to be made in this AI wave than smartphone or internet combined, right? The other quote is from Peter Diamandis. He's a prominent entrepreneur and the founder of XPRIZE. He says that there's going to be two types of businesses in this world in the next 5 years.
Well,
one who will be able to embrace and use AI, and the second who are no longer in business.
That's scary. That's a harsh reality, but it makes me think about during the pandemic, we saw particularly, I know in the United States, and I'm sure everywhere, that small businesses had to move to online about 7 years sooner than anticipated in the life cycle of businesses. And a lot of them still haven't figured out the online component yet. So now you're saying it's not just online, it's AI. If you don't optimize, if you don't have AI involved in your workflows, in your operational systems, then you're not going to be in business.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Lots of things for us to think about. Are there any ways that entrepreneurs and business owners, I don't know if you want to share favorite tools or favorite use cases for how they can start integrating AI if they're not already? I mean, as you said, AI is involved in probably everything we're doing.
We
just don't know it. But
so when this question comes up, you know, we ask the business owners, entrepreneurs, we say, okay, you know, look at your business, look at your day-to-day activities. Tell us where you are spending most of your time, where it is consuming most of your energy, where are you making most of the errors? You know, where are most of the customer complaints coming? You know, these are the areas where you want to attack, because as we know, you know, momentum builds up when you look for those low-hanging fruits, which have the biggest impact, right? Mm. So we want to build that momentum as quickly as possible so that you see a huge difference in your business. You know, you invest $100 and you get $500 back. Then you say, oh, this is amazing. You know, there is no fear to use this technology. Let's see what else we can do. So that's the approach we take. There is no one size fits all. You know, a lot of people ask me, okay, you know, what tools do you use? I will say, you know, there's going to be like so many tools in the market. They're already there. Like 1,000 new tools are coming out every day. So I recommend people not to chase tools, but to chase what is the problem that you're trying to solve. And regarding tools, I will also say that try to stick with the, you know, more stable companies, which will be around for a while at this stage of the game, because, you know, most of the tools may be written by a student in their basement. And they say, oh, let me try this and put it up on the internet. And you start relying on that tool for your business. And, you know, that student may lose interest in that tool in 6 months. Mm-hmm. And now you're left hanging, okay, you know, what do I do? So try to focus on, you know, ChatGPT, which is supported by Microsoft, Midjourney, you know, that has been around for a long time. Google is coming out with tools. So try to stick with these reliable companies, at least for now, until sort of the dust settles and, you know, you can say, okay, this company looks solid. You know, I can build my business workflows based on their technology. Or, you know, if you don't find something, then talk to experts like myself so that, you know, we can help you find the right tool or build the right tool for you.
Wonderful. And Manoj, what kind of clients are you still working with, like larger, the Fortune 500s? Do you have tools on your website or things that smaller businesses can use? Because I know you're also very still involved. You're a founder of the Startup Vancouver.
Yeah. And my passion is small business and startups. Cool. So, you know, a lot of people get scared. Oh, you know, this sounds like only suitable for large companies and it may need like hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I say, you know, just book a call. You know, we want to get into more conversations. You know, we offer like, you know, a 1 hour deep dive into your business. Just you can get started with anywhere from $500 to $1,000. And the value you get out of that is 10 times more because it opens up your eyes towards new possibilities that you didn't know were possible. So just with that, you know, people have already transformed their businesses, gotten like, you know, up 20 hours per week back by seeing what is possible with this technology today.
Amazing. I've really enjoyed. I know we were just like barely touching on this subject, but I think you've shared so many great things for us to think about in the world of AI and how to get started and not to be scared and to really realize that we can incorporate it beautifully and we can actually better solve people's problems because of the personalization aspect. And it'll create a better quality of life because it's going to actually decrease prices for us. Yay. I'd love to hear that. Manoj, do you have a favorite quote, mantra, or some words that you live by?
You know, one thing I like is don't take life too seriously because nobody will get out of it alive. So it is what it is. Just go with the flow and things will work out.
Fantastic. And what is the best place for people to find you? To go to your company's website, find you on LinkedIn? What do you prefer?
Yeah, all of those. So, you know, the best thing is like I'm all over the internet. Google my name, look me up on LinkedIn, go to my website, which is again my first name, lastname.com. I'm easy to get hold of if people want to connect with me, collaborate with me, or just have a conversation about how AI can make an impact in their life.
Fantastic.
Well, oh, by the way, we are giving away a few free video series on AI. So, you know, you can go to AImerge.pro and sign up for a free video series or an ebook. It's just like a free thing that people can download and understand how AI can help them.
Fantastic. I will share that in the show notes. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Has been just a wonderful conversation. I'm so happy that you gave us some of your time. And I'm excited to continue the conversation, get you involved in some other things that I'm doing at the university level and other places. And
absolutely.
So again, Manoj Agarwal, thank you so much for being here today. And thank you to our audience for watching or listening to this episode of Your Brand Amplified. I'm Anika Jackson, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another amazing expert.
Want more? Check out amplifywithanika.com or follow me on socials at amplifywithanika.
As we close out today's episode, I want to thank Simplified again for making it possible. For all marketers and creators out there, Simplified is your ally in effortlessly crafting on-brand content with a design and video AI. Discover how AI can enhance your creative process at simplify.com. Start for free and elevate your content game. Thanks for listening, and here's to your next creative breakthrough.